mobile.
K4NXC, KB4CBA.
KK4NXC.
Correction, KK4NXC. All right, man, you are out and up early today.
It's up, out, and early. What you doing up this time of morning?
Well, Mike, I have a sound that I use on my phone. I have ringing in my ears, and it kind of neutralizes that, so I can sleep. I can't sleep in a quiet room because all I hear is my ears ringing. So, and I guess I forgot to plug my phone in last night because it went dead about 4:30.
Heading in anywhere, you're still at the house.
I am sitting here at the front of the, I guess it's, you call this my ham shack. It's it's in one of the smaller bedrooms.
On that, mine is in my master bedroom off in a corner. Well, I hate you didn't get good sleep.
What I got was good. And see, I'm retired, so I can always take a nap.
That's good. Yeah, I can't really take a nap at work. they frown on that, let me put it to you that way.
I used to work at the Vehicle Service Center for Greenville County on Keith Drive, and we had a guy I worked over and on the police cars and the ambulances and the lighter vehicles. Then we had a heavy equipment side, and they worked on the big trucks, big tandem trucks and all that. And we had this big dude, and I won't say his name, but because there's probably some people listening that knows who he is because they went to high school with him like I did. And he'd get on a creeper and get up on one of those big tandem dump trucks, and he'd go to sleep.
When I worked at UPS, we had a guy that was a new hire on third, and he came in. Of course, I think the guy was going to school, so I'm not going to fault him, but he crawled up underneath the truck and fell asleep. He was on a creeper, and there was another guy training him, and he fell asleep during that training, and they pushed the truck out from over him and rolled him off into a corner somewhere. And when he woke up, he didn't know what was going on. I think he was out for a couple hours, but they played a good little joke on him.
At least they didn't roll him over into a tar pit or something. Oh, man, we used to do all kinds of crazy stuff at the county. Every now and then, one of the councilmen would come in, and they were real pompous, and they wanted you to address them as councilman so-and-so. And so we would get an empty jug of gallon jug of antifreeze, and we would tape an air nozzle to it and tape it good and tight, and the air nozzle would be blowing compressed air into that antifreeze jug, and we'd put it up near the office where they were sitting talking, and that thing would blow up. It sounded like a cannon going off.
I'll tell you that. I'm I'm sure that scared some people. We had taken some bottle rockets one time and set into a 5-gallon metal can and set it behind a guy that was welding and set those off. And when they went boom, he ran off, never let go of the welding lead, pulled the welding machine over, dragging it. It scared him pretty bad. Of course, that guy was pretty jumpy anyway.
That's pretty good. We had a good time. We'd like if somebody put a new water pump on a car and they walked away from it, we'd get some antifreeze and pour it up under the car right where the water pump was and pour a nice little puddle there, and they'd come back and see that green antifreeze laying on the concrete, and they go, oh no, man, what's going on?
A guy known for that, he'd do the antifreeze, and then he had one of those little oil cans that you pull the trigger on, and oil would come out of it. He would, on those guys that rebuild engines, he'd go around, and kind of squirt oil here and there on the engine, make it look like it was leaking. Of course, once they caught on to him, they didn't pay him no attention, but he was really bad for practical jokes like that.
I'll tell you one more. This guy put, I can't remember if he pulled the heads. I think he pulled the heads on his car, and so when he started it up, one of the guys got behind the car and at the trunk and, dug down, and he got his little pocket screwdriver out, and he started tapping against the side of the car when he started it up, and it sounded just like a lifter tap, and when the guy would rev it up, he would tap faster, and as the engine RPMs would come down, he'd start tapping slower, and it sounded just like a lifter tap, and that guy was going crazy. He thought he was going to have to pull his heads back off. I tell you, we had more fun.
You do that kind of stuff all the time. You got to have fun. I mean, we worked long hours, and we did a good job, got our stuff done. But there's nothing wrong with having a little bit of fun. I bet you somebody could write a book of those events and probably sell it, make them a little bit of money.
Now, here's what you do on the guy's first day at work, the new guy. Yeah, the other thing they did to me was, we worked on police cars, so they had a pair of handcuffs, and they, at the parts window, they had this metal mesh, and if you know what you're doing, you can slap a pair of handcuffs on somebody's wrist real fast. So they slapped one in on my wrist and hooked the other one on that mesh to the parts window, and I was just stuck because I didn't have a key, and so finally one of my buddies came up. He said, "Don't tell anybody I gave you this," and he gave me a key to unlock myself.
Awkward. Well, it's a good thing you had somebody that was willing to give you a hand.
Probably feel sorry for me because I'm sure everybody else had the same thing done, and him included, and he knew how it felt. I'd never been handcuffed before, so it was kind of scary. I mean, you can't go anywhere. You're just standing. there. And you don't know what's going to happen next. So, but I was, we call it deadlining a car. You know, when we get the new cars in, we have to take all the equipment out of the old car, the radios and, you know, the shotgun rack and all that stuff has to come out of the old cars. And I was, you know, doing all that, and I looked down and I saw a handcuff key, so I picked it up, stuck it in my pocket, and I carried that thing around the rest of the time I worked there, just in case.
Put that key and pass that along to the next guy that got handcuffed to the parked cage.
Yeah, unfortunately, there never was a next guy. Well, not in the time that I was there. I think I was their last hire, and of course they had to hire somebody to replace me. I was only there 5 years, but it was a great work environment because it was air conditioned and no pressure. I mean, you know, some of the guys, I always like to stay busy, but some of the guys would come up to me and say, "Dave, why don't you slow down?" You know, he said, "It pays the same." That was their big phrase, "Pays the same." And I said, "Yeah, you're right, it pays the same, but I said, I'm trying to get something done here." So, and a lot of the officers would stay with their cars. They would bring them in and they would either sit in the office or they would sit in the car with, and talk to you while you worked on their car. And I had one guy, he was a real big dude and kind of boisterous, and he was in the office and he came walking back there, and I thought, wonder what he wants. And I was doing a transmission service on his car because it was overdue, and he said, "Why are you dropping my oil pan?" I said, "Well, sir, this is not your oil pan. This is your transmission pan. I'm doing a transmission service." I said, "You want to, you know, take care of your transmission, and yours is about 30,000 overdue." And I said, "I'll be through in a minute." I said, "Are you in a big hurry?" He said, "No." And I said, I'll have you out of here, you know, in just a few minutes. So just trying to take care of you.
Well, why did you leave that job?
I was working part time at a church, which is really what God called me to do, and I had several full time jobs. I kind of worked two jobs. If I was full time at a church, I worked part time on cars and vice versa. So, at this time, you know, I was working full time with the county and part time at the church. Well, the church grew and they needed me full time. So, I quit the county job and went to the church full time. So, you know, that's how that came about. And I was there 13 and a half years at that church.
Are you in the pastorate at all?
I'm a licensed ordained minister, but I'm a musician, so I directed the music, and I also, one of my other jobs was to take care of the senior adults. They went on trips, and I was responsible for organizing those and you know, collecting the money and, you know, doing all that stuff and making the arrangements. And then I would, you know, travel with them. I'd drive one of the vans, and So we went on a ton of trips, I tell you, and sometimes it would just be a day trip, but sometimes we'd be gone a week. So It was a lot of fun, though. Senior adults are kind of like young people. They just move slower.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
We went up this place, I think it's in Virginia, and it's supposed to be like the Holy Land, but quite frankly, I was real disappointed. But anyway, you know, they liked it, and that, so, you know, hey, if they liked it, then it was a good trip. And so on the way back, we stopped at a Cracker Barrel, and my other driver said, you know, my brakes feel funny. He said, would you mind seeing what you think? And I said, yeah, go ahead and unload, and I'll drive it around the parking lot and see what they're doing. Well, it was metal on metal. It was awful. And there was an AutoZone about a mile away, so I said, let's drive down to the AutoZone here. And I did a front brake job on the on that Dodge van. It was one of those 15 passenger vans, and had to replace one of the rotors because it just chewed it all up. And but in about an hour, we were back on the road again.
I guess they were thankful that there was a mechanic on hand.
AB4 CBA. Well, they, like my daughter, my oldest daughter always said, my daddy can fix it. He can fix anything.
Yeah, we used to say that about my dad. You know, that guy could do anything. And he, you know, he taught me if somebody else could do it, you could do it. And I've always been a do-it-yourselfer on just about anything I needed done. Now, you know, since I'm a mechanic, I don't always have the time to do my own mechanical work. So I do take my cars to shops to have them repaired, but good grief, my wife and I just built a house together. It's 2,600 square feet, but I'll be 60 this year, and I was telling my neighbor that I just didn't think I was up to doing a house again.
I'm 66, and I'm out in good health. I play tennis about every day of the week, and yesterday I played twice, and I played in the morning and then in the evening. In the, we have a bubble, so when it rains, you know, they have two courts inside, so so anyway, I got to play twice yesterday, and that was nice. And but I changed my oil and rotate my tires on my own car, and I just like to do that. And but I can tell a difference, you know. And of course, I'm laying up under the car. You know, when I worked at a dealership, you stood up under a car. It's a lot different when you're having to crawl under it. And I don't have a creeper anymore. And then you got to crawl out from under it, to, you know, because you got the wrong size wrench for the oil pan plug, you know, because you can't remember from one time to the other what size it is. It's either 15 or heck, I can't remember. But anyway, so I do the brakes, and in fact, I've got to take the left side on the front off and take that caliper off the and loop the the caliper pin, it's squeaking. It needs, it's telling me it needs some lube. So I don't know what happened. I put brakes on it. I guess I forgot to lube it. So anyway, I've got to do that. And, you know, just minor things. But I have an extended contract on my car, so it covers everything. I mean, everything. So, you know, I just had to pay $100 deductible, and they cover the rest.
Yeah, and I'll do the smaller stuff. I'll do brakes. I did struts on my wife's car. Water pumps, but I mean, if it gets into anything major, like a clutch or in my truck, I paid a guy to do that. And I had an injector go bad in my 7.3. I paid a guy to do that. I just don't get into some of that other stuff, which injector's not a major deal. It's just I don't enjoy hanging in. You know, I work on trucks, and normally there's plenty of room there. I just don't enjoy hanging under a hood like a bat.
No, I tell you, it's, you know, being my age, it's rough on your back. You're bent over, and my daughter has, we gave them our 2007 Ford Edge, and it developed an oil leak, right? Well, you know, it's a transverse mount engine, so naturally the valve cover that was leaking was on the back. And you have to take the upper intake plenum off to get to it, because it goes right over the top of it. And there's a lot of hoses and stuff that disconnect, and some of them are kind of hard to get to. But once you get the plenum out of the way, it's not too bad of a job. And I'll do stuff like that for, you know, for her. And heck, I mean, if it was my car, I'd pull the heads off of it and that kind of thing. If, you know, if it wasn't covered under warranty, but I'm not doing any work for anybody else. I had a guy wanted me to do a brake job, and I got to thinking about it, and I just thought, you know, I'm just not going to do it. You know, I think those days are over.
Hallelujah.
I told my wife about it. She said, well, I'm glad. She said, you didn't tell him you were going to do it, did you? And I said, no, I haven't given him an answer yet.
Talking to one of your friends the other week, a guy named Charlie Day, one of your old buddies. You remember him?
Remember Charlie? We used to, I used to see him all the time because I'd run up to, he ran Kaufman Brothers and up there on Lawrence. Almost right across from the Caprice there, and I'd get parts from him all the time, and we'd talk ham radio. And in fact, he sold me his tower. Well, he gave it to me, actually. He charged me $10 a section. They were 10-foot sections. It was a round tower, 56 feet, so I basically stole it. And then a few years ago, he gave me, I bought this Astron RS-35M power supply that I'm talking on now from him, and he gave me a bunch of other stuff, and but I haven't talked to Charlie in, probably about 3-4 years maybe. How's he doing?
This is K4OWI. I told him that I had been reading the mail on you guys and heard you. And he told me how he knew you and fixed you with some equipment, some hair nails and different things when he was... So I guess he was probably getting out of the hobby, more or less. And I saw him... I guess this was back 4th of July weekend when I saw him.
I used to run into him at the Tommy's Ham House. That was mainly where I saw him, and he was always there. He was there every day. And we used to go there and eat on Sunday afternoon after the morning service, and he'd usually be there. And sometimes I'd eat there during the week as well. He's a good guy, I tell you. I always liked Charlie.
I used to go up there, well, it's been a good while since I've been there, but I'd go up there some during the week after I had retired, and, sometimes I'd go up there on the weekends, pick something up Sunday, and did that really right up kind of until Tommy closed. But, Charlie, they're going over to the Carolina Drive-In restaurant, if you can call it that, I guess. Kind of across the street from where the Ham House was. Some on Wednesdays, meeting them some up there. I haven't made it up there yet, because I used to go a good bit to the Ham House, and then I quit, probably 4 or 5 years before they closed up. But anyway, 4th of July, we were talking about you, and, they still going up there, so I don't know y'all ever go. You ever think about going up there on Wednesdays?
KB4CBA. No. So is that across from where the Ham House used to be?
To the best of my knowledge, is. Right up there from Rutherford, probably about a half a block or so up toward town. They moved the restaurant from down there off of Rutherford. And some of the people that went up there to the Ham House are going there. Tommy shows up once in a blue moon, supposedly, and a couple of the people that worked at Tommy's are working there now. So, and I haven't made it up there yet. I'll try to make it next week or two.
What time is he usually there?
As best of my knowledge, they're going out there congregating about 11 o'clock.
And you mind telling me your first name? I've got C.R. Nally on the on QRZ.
You don't mind that at all. My name is Richard. First name Richard. Last name Nally. And... K4OW.
Mike, go ahead and jump in there. Richard, we got Mike in here too. Or do you go by Michael, KK4NXE?
Yeah, I go by Mike or Michael, it doesn't matter. No, I'm just sitting back listening to you guys talk. I'm destinating to work here. I've got to get out and go. I got a long day ahead of me. I got to finish up some payroll stuff before 1 o'clock, so I'm going to be running up against the gun. But, Richard, good to hear you, and I will catch up with you guys on another morning. I'm on this channel or this frequency every morning from about 5 to 5:30, 5:40 sometimes. So anytime you guys want to jump in there, that'd be fantastic. Well, 7-3s to you guys. Have a great day. And I will catch up with you on another day. Be safe. KK4NXE, clear on your final.
Mike, well, you have a good day. Don't work too hard. Good to talk with you. And glad we could ride in with you. So you have a good one. 73's KK4. Oh, goodness. I forgot your call. We're NXE, KB4, CBA. Go ahead, Richard.
CBA, K4OW. Good to catch you on, and I'm not likely to be on here this time of morning, usually. Just the way things worked out today. But you never know. Can't ever tell. But I'll try to catch up with you again. I know Charlie thinks a lot of you. We talked about you a little bit. And I'm not on much. I got more antenna problems than I say most of my problems, antenna problems, and hearing aid problems, but biggest problem, my antenna problems, I guess. But I'll get most of that straightened out, I guess. But take care of yourself. K4RW. Top of the day to you.
73, Mike, KN4 TFW. Tune up this time of the morning.
Oh, Lord, I don't know. All right, Richard, will you, you see Charlie, you tell him I said hello. My phone woke me up. I use it for noise, ambient noise in the room, just so I don't hear my ears ringing. And evidently I forgot to plug it in, and it went dead, and I immediately woke up, and then I plugged it back in and laid back down, and I couldn't get back to sleep. And so I just went ahead and got up, fixed me some breakfast, and let's see, and then I heard, gosh, he was in here first. Mike, he was in here, KK4NXE, and so we talked for a few minutes, and then Richard jumped in, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, I'm sorry you got woke up early, but it's good to hear you on the radio this early this morning. Sounds like today might be a good day for a nap later this afternoon. What do you think?
I told Mike, I said, I will probably be taking a nap. You know, being retired, you can do that sort of thing.
that one. And that, well, this is my regular time in the morning for me to head to work.
All I can say is better you than me.
Sure, rub it in. I don't guess I know the other gentleman that's in here.
K4RW KB4CBA. Richard, are you still in there? He pulled the plug. He said he didn't get on much, but he was asking me. Evidently, he was talking to an old buddy of mine, and he was asking me if I remembered him, and I said, shoot, yeah. Charlie and I, we go back a good many years.
A little mischief together, right?
I don't know if we got in any mischief, but I tell you, he, when I moved to Hunts Bridge Road, I wanted to put up a tower, and so my wife told me I wasn't going to, so I just went out and bought one. You know, easier to ask forgiveness than permission, and I got it from Charlie. It was a round tower, 10-foot sections, and he had four of them, and then, or five of them, and then I bought a top piece that where you could set a rotor and had a bearing in it, and I bought that from at Shelby Hamfest for next to nothing. And I planted that thing in 3x3x3 concrete, and it's still standing there. right where I put it. But he, you know, he gave those sections to me for $10 a piece. So, and then he sold me this power supply real cheap. It's a Astron RS35M. I'm talking on right now, and he gave me, I didn't know he was going to do this, but the box had a bunch of other stuff in it too, so I had a couple of 2-meter rigs and some handhelds and some meters and just all kinds of stuff. So he basically was just getting out of ham radio altogether.
Reckon why he was getting out of it.
KB4CBA. You know, if I ask him, I don't remember what he said. So I really don't know. I used to be kind of, you know, up and down with it myself. You might hear me on there for a few months or a year, and then I might not be on there for 2 years or 3 years, and all I had was a 2-meter rig, and but I tell you, since I got this 7300, boy, I'm having a blast on the HF on sideband.
Way on HF myself, you know, be on it pretty consistent every week, and then I might not be on it for a couple of months. And I think last weekend was the first time I was on it in probably a month.
I don't think I've been on it this, see what's today. I don't think I've been on it this week. I've had something. Well, I was up in Maggie Valley, or coming home from Maggie Valley Monday, and then last night, or what's today? Yeah. Last night I played tennis and didn't get home until 8 o'clock. And then, so I missed my sideband net. They call it at 7 o'clock on 80 meters on 3915. So, you know, I didn't even come in here and turn the radio on.
DFW. Yeah, there was a couple of QSO parties going on this past weekend, and man, I made about 20 contacts and that, but man, the conditions weren't real good. You had to really work to get those.
Well, yeah. I enjoy doing the contest thing. I'm not a big contester, but I'll try to make a few contacts, and if I get like anywhere from 5 to 10, I'm happy, and I just like tuning around and listening, see what's going on, and try to reach somebody that I haven't talked to before. And I just didn't turn it on, and but luckily I think the conditions are slowly coming around, and they'll get better, especially this winter. So they should get better by the winter. So anyway, we got that to look forward to.
I'm hopeful maybe this by the end of this year I can get the worked all states, and that I lack about 5 or 6 out west, I think. And I heard a operator, they were calling a net on Saturday, I guess, or Sunday, and on 17 meters. And man, he was out in Arizona like you and I are talking right here, and then by the time I was going to contact him, they switched net controllers. I couldn't even hear him.
Happens. I've had that happen. I heard a guy out in California, and he was coming in here just clear. He was 5x9, crystal clear, and then they switched net controllers, and I couldn't hear him. And there's a I don't know if you know about. Do you know about the what is it? Oh shoot! Let me look it up while you're. It's called WebSDR, I think, .org, and you can select a an operator that allows you to listen in on what they're listening to, the frequencies that they're listening to, and you can try to pick one that's either in the same state or close by, and you can actually hear the controller that way, and then you can see if you can talk to them. You can actually hear yourself talking on the web SDR. It's really cool.
I've never done that. I've done the one where, I don't even remember the site name, but it's got a bunch of SDR radios all over the world, and you can log on to them, and you can actually tune them over there in, other countries and other states and that, and listen and see what you can hear.
Might be the same thing. But it's kind of neat. You can record your, record your transmission to see what you sound like, and that sort of thing. So it's, of course, I'm pretty sure I can do this. I can just slide in the SD card, but I haven't even used it. I was going to do the update on this thing, and I got it on the SD card from the computer, and then when I plugged it in and brought it up, it had all these warnings and saying that, that it might mess up the radio and you have to send it back to ICOM. And I guess it's just a general what do you call it, notice that they have to send out to everybody a disclaimer. And but it scared me. So I said, I'm not having any trouble with this radio, so I'm just not going to do the update.
Can't blame you on that. I don't mess with mine. I just leave it just like it is. I got that 450D.
Excuse me. It was 2 years ago we went up to Portland, Maine. My wife wanted to do a lighthouse tour, up there and coming back. So we drove up there in 2 days, and then we took our time coming back, and we stayed in New York for three or four days, and we stayed on the New Jersey side, and we ride a ferry over across the Hudson. We were right on the Hudson, and we could see New York out our window at night. It was a gorgeous sight. But so anyway, on the way back, I noticed that we were going through a city that had an HRO, and I said, I'd like to stop at this HRO. And she said, okay. And I sat down in front of this 7300. She said, you gonna get that radio? And I said, well, I'd like to. And she said, well, go ahead and get it. So I did.
The half says, go ahead and get it if you want that. That means you better jump on it right now before she changes her mind.
That thing like a June bug, I'll tell you. I just love this radio. It's just it's just really something else. I've told several people I don't see myself buying another HF rig ever.
W, it's certainly sounding good this morning.
I'm only on 10 watts on a J-pole, it's on the back of the roof, so you can't see it from the road, and because I'm in the HOA, if my HOA guy sees it, he might have some questions. So it's not very high up in the air. And but anyway, this is one of the radios that we were talking about Charlie Day, and this is one of the radios he gave me when I bought this power supply from him.
In there this morning. Go ahead, Bill.
Morning, gentlemen. I'm up and down hill, so y'all go ahead. I'll just listen in. And 4WHM.
This morning, and that you must be headed off to school early this morning.
Start. I got lots to do and a lot waiting on me. So I figured I'd get in a little early and try to knock out some of my email.
Hey, Bill, is your call on November 4 Whiskey Hotel Mike?
Out of Hartwell, Georgia.
Well, my grandmother and my grandfather used to have a farm in Dallas, Georgia, and 44 acres, and all her relatives still live down there, the ones that are living, and she always called it Joji. Let's go down to Joji, see our relatives. And we'd go down once for a week every summer until I went, until junior high school anyway.
Hey, I tell you this. whole part of the country, northeast Georgia, southwest South Carolina. It's a beautiful place, like no other.
My dad, we went to Dallas, all of our people had moved to Villarica, which is a little further west of Atlanta than Dallas is, and we rode into Dallas, and they showed me where the old home place used to be, and they say that it still looks, Dallas still looks the same. And when I saw it, I just said, thank you, Lord, that my grandfather decided he wanted to get out of farming and selling insurance, because he made a good living selling insurance. And I know farming is hard work, so I was kind of grateful to wind up in Greenville.
I agree, farming's hard work. I grew up on a working farm, and did farm work till I was about 12 years old. And that's why I got into IT. I decided I didn't want to have to work that hard for a living. And crazy me, went and joined the military, and then I decided that wasn't for me, so IT become the fallback for a couple of different career aspirations. But I do love it, been doing it for almost 40 years now.
I'm glad you can do that, because we need people. I tell you, my wife used to work with Prisma Health, and she worked in the corporate office. She was her title was board governess. She basically, ran the schedules and had all the PowerPoint presentations ready for everybody. And it was a busy, busy job, but if she ever had a problem, she would work from home sometimes, because somebody would change their presentation Sunday night at 10 o'clock and call her and say, I want to make a change to my presentation in the morning at the 8 o'clock meeting. Well, so she had to log on to the portal, and then she'd have trouble getting logged on, or something would happen. She'd call an IT person, and they'd have her going in no time. So they saved her many times when she was in a bind.
I'm fixing to reach the edge of where I have known decent signal, so I've enjoyed the conversation this morning, and sending greetings to both of you. And as the rest of the group comes in, tell them I said hello. This is M4WHM. I'll be clear.
Do you go by William or Bill? Hey, Ken, go ahead. KB4CPA.
73, Bill. You have an awesome day down there at UGA, and don't let them students get under your skin, and I'll catch you another time. KN4TFW. Want Patrick to jump in here.
You may have to go make another pot of coffee.
On this morning crew while you're sleeping all morning.
Say you sleep a third of your life. When you think about that, that sounds like a lot to me, I tell you.
My 8 hours every night.
Oh, I went to bed about 9:30, so I got 6.5 hours sleep. I can make it on 6.5. And I got the grass cut after I came home from playing tennis. I got the grass cut before it started raining, and because if I hadn't, it would have been a whole lot of fun. Because I don't know when the next dry day is going to be. So I knew if I didn't get it yesterday, it was going to be a heck of a lot taller.